Okay. In relation to our subject of consideration today, the light for all seasons, let us read in Luke chapter 1, verses 78 and 79. Luke chapter 1, 78 and 79. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. If I read the calendar right, today is the last day of the feast of Hanukkah, which is not divinely ordained in the Old Testament scripture as we have, but is interesting to consider and to remind us of the Jewish nature of our salvation. Now our reading here in Luke is a quote from Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 9. Verses 2 through 7. Isaiah 9, 2 through 7. Which reads, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this." Now David looked and longed for this time, as he wrote in Psalm 43, verse 3. "O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles." And again in Psalm 89. Verse 15. "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance." And then we find in Proverbs 16, verse 15, "In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain." Now Christ is this king we await, the light of the world, as he of course said in John chapter 8. Isaiah again says in Isaiah 49, Isaiah 49, verses 5 through 8. And now saith Yahweh that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of Yahweh, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith Yahweh, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship, because of Yahweh that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith Yahweh, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. This prophecy is given in the future tense, and so we still await the light of the king's countenance. At that time, the light shall reveal righteousness, as we find in Micah chapter 7. Micah 7, verses 8 and 9. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, Yahweh shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of Yahweh, because I have sinned against him, until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. But there is a prerequisite to this enlightening exposure. Isaiah states in Isaiah chapter 42, Isaiah 42, verses 6 and 7. I, Yahweh, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. So this is the covenant of the people in Christ. We have been blessed with enlightenment as to the covenant and called to respond and enter into that covenant, to the covenant status, to become the people, fellow heirs with Christ. As of course we read in Galatians 3, in Romans 8, in Ephesians 3, but let's move on. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 9 and 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. But there is a warning. Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, Ecclesiastes 11, verses 7 and 8. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. If we do not continue to walk in the light, as John wrote in his first epistle, the light that is within us will become darkness. In Matthew 6:22, Christ says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." So we must stay focused on the light, the marvelous light of God's Word, and not on the cares of this life. Again, in John's first epistle, 1 John chapter 3, read verses 7 through 10. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. And whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now, many individuals have manifested the light of God, reflecting it for others. We read in John chapter 5, Christ says, in John 5, verses 33 through 36, "Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. It was their time to enjoy the light. But when the test came, many failed to retain the enlightenment and fell dark. This is the historical precedent, and the Jews should have learned from their past. This discourse that we read here in John 5 appears to have occurred roughly during the winter before the second Passover of Christ's mortal ministry. When we try to look at the sequence that Mansfield suggests. Now, apparently the next winter, Christ's last winter on this earth, he went to Jerusalem during a very specific season that John mentions. Just a little ways over in John chapter 10, verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. Now, this was almost certainly what is known as Hanukkah, really a feast of rededication. We know the history, how the temple was profaned by the Greek ruler Antiochus, deserted and vacant for 3 years, then cleaned up, repaired, and rededicated by the victorious Jews, the Maccabees. Josephus relates, and quote, "Nay, they were so very glad at the revival of their customs when, after a long time of intermission, they unexpectedly had regained the freedom of their worship that they made it law for their posterity that they should keep a festival on account of the restoration of their temple worship for 8 days. And from that time to this, we celebrate this festival and call it lights." Now, while Hanukkah is not a feast commanded the Jews to observe by Moses, by divine order, it's mentioned in John's gospel. It may imply a certain worthiness of consideration. Now, just in the encyclopedia, it states, the Hanukkah menorah, their candlestick, has 9 branches with 8 candles on one level and the 9th slightly higher. The 9th candle is the Shamus, the servant candle, used to light the others. End quote. We can readily see how Christ is such a servant, though above his brethren. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Picking up at verse 15. Ephesians 4, 15 through 18. "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, Christ had told his disciples, "Ye are the light of the world." Now, this can only be by following his example and reflecting his light, allowing his ways to motivate us. Now, of course, the first menorah, the lampstand in the tabernacle in the temple, burned oil instead of candles, as some Jews still do. Some of the Orthodox Jews use oil-fired lamps on their menorah instead of the candles. The supposed miracle of the one-day supply of oil lasting 8 days would remind us that God's word will stand forever in spite of scoffers' denigration of it as simple legends and fairy tales. And on the 8,000-year day, God will be all in all. Now, the encyclopedia also relates that after the candles have been lighted, Maoz Tzur, a Hebrew hymn, is sung. This hymn recalls the Jews' deliverance from slavery in Egypt, from the Babylonian exile, from Antiochus Epiphanes, as occurred at that time of the Maccabees, and from Haman, the wicked Persian official. Of course, we read about in the book of Esther. And so the arising of the light of the world will bring complete deliverance from the oppression of sin nature, which all of these so aptly represent, which leads to death. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's read verses 23 through 28. Let's go ahead and pick up at verse 22. 1 Corinthians 15, 22 through 28. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he has accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And so in closing, let us read in Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, let's read verses 2 through 5. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. And now let us enter into our memorial service with a singing of hymn number 252. Hymn number 252. Father of Lights. Hymn 252.